On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York, and the host of On the Ground.
This is Adrienne Berg, and this is On the Ground. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is On the Ground. And you know that what we do is we shine a light, we feature one organization on a show at a time to see what's working for them, what hasn't worked for them, so that we can learn from other organizations all over the world that have a special mission. And in this case, our mission that we're talking about is conservation, particularly through the maintenance of a very beautiful, very unique botanic garden, an Iyo Botanic Garden in Tonga on the island of Vava'u. And we have here the proprietress, the CEO, Lucy Falunu. And I do know that many of you think of yourself as very isolated, being all by yourself with your mission, whatever it may be, whether it's poverty, education, food security, learning, education, workforce, whatever it may be, you kind of feel like, gee, I'm on my own here. Well, here's somebody who really is on their own here and yet is making it happen. So there's a lot that we can learn from Lucy. So, Lucy, thank you for being with us right now. I really think people need to know a little bit about the Botanic Garden. Explain to them where it is, right, and some of the things that they do that you do offer in a very strong way.
Thank you, Adrienne. The Botanical Garden, the Iyo Botanical Garden, is located in Toaneke Valley Village in Vava'u Islands in the Kingdom of Tonga. It is about 20 minutes from Neiafu, the inner city, and the capital to the Botanical Garden. The Botanical Garden was developed in 1972 by the founder, Mr. Halitele Fa'anunu, and it wasn't until 2006, on the 22nd of August, that it was finally made available for public to have tours in the Botanical Garden. There are 550 plant species, but over 150 plant families. And Hantele's vision of developing the Botanical Garden was not only for conservation and protection of different plant species of Tonga, but also to educate the locals and also tourists about flora and fauna of Tonga. Also, there are certain endangered plant species that we grow in the garden, because we are putting a lot of effort to save some of our different endangered plant species in this 22 acres botanical garden. What we offer is different tours. We have Walk Amongst the Native Tour, which is a 1 hour guided tour. The Polynesian Culture Tour includes a half an hour guided tour in the botanical garden. And then we do the cultural demonstrations by the local women of how the early Tongans survive on certain plants. For instance, the coconuts, like the tree of life, well known in the Pacific. And then we also demonstrate the bandanas, how we weave our own mats, and we demonstrate how the tapa, or the clothing that we made from the paper mulberry, or ceremony is done. And also we demonstrate how the vanilla essence is made using the cured vanilla. When we have big tours like Stanford University alumni, they've already made booking for 2027 to come in to Vava'u and enjoy Polynesian culture tour. So this is also available to large group, and that helps to sustain Tonga's only botanical garden.
So most of the problems that a small but vibrant group like yours have is funding. Funding is, we hear this over and over again through GNEC, Global NGO Executive Committee, and this is the podcast for them. And so when we see a problem, we do want to ask folks how they solve that problem. You have given us one example, which is opening up, because you have a physical plant, and the advocacy deals with a physical place to open it up to the public. So that is certainly one way. But many issues have to do with the support of the government. Now, I know that in your case, the Tongan government actually did open the garden officially in 2006. Have you been successful in getting support from the government? And if not, why not? And if so, what support have you gotten?
For 6.5 years, when we started in 2006, we didn't have electricity, and also the road wasn't so good. So normally we would tell people it's never good, it's never easy getting to paradise. The road wasn't that great, and no electricity for 6.5 years. So finally we got the electricity, and the road was done. It's a much better road now. So we are grateful for government for the basic infrastructure of the road being done nicely, but it has to be tar sealed. Also, we did get a request for our bird watching tour, but because Handeli is getting to 80, he's not able to do the bird watching and hiking tour, but that was supported by the government. But we have made a submission hoping that Green Climate Fund might be able to help in terms of upgrading our fence, but we are yet to hear. One of the things that we are hoping that people wish when they come visit the Botanical Garden, there's access of how they can support the garden through donations. So we're still looking at the mechanism and the platform of how we can get there, because it needs to be sustainable in the long run, especially if we are able to save some of the endangered plant species. And this is over 150 plant families in the Botanical Garden, and also over 550 plant cultivars that we are able to conserve and protect it in this 22 acres botanical garden.
So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I do want to talk about, I know you're doing research, Lucy, right now, about what platforms you may be using to reach out for donations, seeing exactly the right way you should be doing it. And the listeners right now are other NGOs and other charitable organizations and other conservation organizations doing exactly the same thing. So it'd be very interesting to hear from you. What efforts you're making, what you think might work, what you think might not work. Don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be right back. Are you interested in high-quality online SDG education programs at no cost and with a flexible schedule? Through the Global NGO Education Committee, GNEC, and Rutgers Preparatory School, the Innovation Academy is offering a variety of programs that address both local and global challenges that should be of interest to you. It provides NGO a virtual platform for online courses and programs from top schools and other organizations designed for every grade level from world-class educators. Take advantage of this amazing opportunity to expand your knowledge, be connected, be inspired by NGO leaders and educators. You will get all the information you need at The Innovation Academy at GNEC, GNEC.NGO. And now we're back. And as you know, we're speaking with Lucy Fa'alunu, and she is the proprietress, I like to call her. She's a very elegant person. Sometimes I'm sorry that you can't see all of my guests. She's beautifully elegant. She wears Tonganese clothing. It's just wonderful to go there. It really feels like you're in the South Pacific of your dreams when you go to the Eneo Garden. But you're also in a place that is very interested in making a difference. And to do that, it needs to be sustainable. And what you're doing right now, as I understand it, is you're really doing some research. What have you found that might be the best catalyst, you think, of going for, we talked about government support, but now we're talking about consumer support. People get to know your name, get to want to buy into your mission. How do you think you'll go about that in the future?
I think it's also very important for us to be part of the network of all botanical gardens around the world. The institutions that support conservation efforts around the world would be very important and significant for us to be able to link with them, communicate with them, help one another, and also potential for research on some of our plant species here at Tonga. I remember when I was 5 years old, I had asthma. And my mother said to me, I was the most unhealthy kid because every time I have an attack, they have to take me to the hospital. She's decided to find the local doctors that do the medicine. We call it kawhaito. And approached this gentleman and told him that this is what I'm going through. Always have the attack and we have to run to the hospital. So he told my mom to get certain plants. And I remember one of the plants was langakali to scrape the pulp and mix it and then he boiled it. And then I had to drink that and keep on treating me until I was healed with asthma. My mother said to me, you'll never forget this person here, and always point when we go by his house, that's the one who cured you of asthma. Never forget that he is a local medicine doctor that healed you of asthma because I was going through a hard time having to rush into the hospital. But you won't believe my youngest sister also had asthma, but she was adopted by one of my auntie. And she's still on the asthma, but I was cured. So I think there is a possible opportunity out there when we network with institutions that promote conservation efforts. And also the greenery of all these green, beautiful plants. Somewhere, there may be a potential that they can do research. But it's also very important for us to network with those same institutions promoting a safe, green environment for the whole world.
Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, I'm going to give you some news you can use because we're having a very special event. So don't you guys go anywhere. We shall be right back. If you're interested in civil society and NGOs, please subscribe free to the NGO Reporter. We're gathering perspectives from the global NGO community worldwide. And celebrating 30 years of connecting NGOs, the media, and civil society networks worldwide to the work of GNIC, its constituents, the NGOs, and the topical issues related to all the UN SDGs. So, how do you get your free copy? Well, simply go to gnic.ngo. And you know, you can also submit articles for the reporter. And if you do, you will be read by UN media and those interested in civil society, other NGOs. It's certainly worth doing. So please contact our editors and our staff at GNEC, GNEC.NGO. And now we're back, and I do want to make an announcement about this very special event. We're doing an outreach program here at GNEC, the Global NGO Executive Committee, with NGO, another NGO, non-governmental organization, COA, Committee on Aging. And we will be showing you through a webinar and a panel discussion, and you're going to be part of this immersive panel discussion, how looking at the issues of aging can elevate any mission, can empower any advocacy. So that's going to be wonderful. And we will have all of that information on our website. And it's also going to empower you regardless of your mission, because that's what it's all about, to empower all the NGOs. Now, this is a good example. We're here today with Lucy Palunu. We've already discussed so many of her programs, what she brings to the table as the CEO ANIO Botanic Gardens in Tonga. It's very remote. Although nothing in the world is remote anymore, it's not so easy for her to do all of the communication she has to, but it's happening, and it's going to be sustainable, and it's going to be one of the important, already of the botanical gardens of the world, but one of the taking leadership in conservation of exotic plants. But here's an example that we just got, that one of the plants actually is part of a potential research project on curing asthma. We all know that older adults have sleep apnea, and that is one of the biggest issues, and it's related to issues of asthma. So in anything you think about, in any of your goals, you could always think about issues of aging. And that's why GNEC, for its very first inaugural collaborative event, has decided to look at the intergenerational aspects of all of our missions and all of our advocacy. So I'm going to finish with that with you, Lucy. Intergenerationalism. When you get people visiting you, do they often bring children with them, or is it usually adults? What's the profile of the visitor that you usually get?
Profile of the visitors, I'll probably say at the age of 50 to 60s.
Okay.
Very few that we get children, but if it's a family traveling with children, then sometimes we get children. But in terms of the profile, most of them towards the age of 50 and above.
So there you go again with
That's
particularly because this has a tourism aspect to it. That does not surprise me at all, because we still are, people 60 plus are still the biggest travelers, slated to take 1.6 trillion trips in the next 25 years. So many people who are in many fields just don't see the power of inviting the older adult for their fundraising, as part of their fundraising. And now we will finish with you, Lucy, by asking the future. What are some of the things that you are longing to do for the future and have started already with campaigns?
one of the things in the future that we hope is to upgrade our current fencing in the botanical garden and also labeling, because to have a botanical garden, you must have the label. So we only managed to get 328 funded by Dr. Koyama. Dr. Koyama is a botanist from Japan. Hanteli met him in a meeting in Japan, and when Hanteli, the founder, I told him that he has developed a botanical garden in Tonga. The Dr. Koyama couldn't believe Hanitelli, because in his thinking as a Japanese, at the end of the world, all we're concerned about is our livelihood and crop to feed us and all that. Who is going to develop a botanical garden? But when Hanitelli finally showed him his database of all the plants, 550, he said, "Very sorry, I didn't know that you are telling the truth, that you have a developed botanical garden. What I'll do, I'll fund your labels." But he only managed to fund 328 plants. So we are in the future hoping that we can be supported in such a way that we can also manage to get labels for the rest of the remaining plants. Only 328 was already done, and that remains because we have 550 plant cultivars. So also we intend to, in the future, hoping that we can build a nice, like a center inside the botanical garden, like a heritage center in the botanical garden, so that we can have photos and pictures of all the plants inside. Because when people come in, they, if it's not in the season, they don't see photos, and they don't see the fruit of the breadfruit. But we want to have photos of when it's fruiting. So when people come in, there is no fruit because it's not the season, that they can actually see that. So in the future, we hope to build a heritage center right in the botanical garden, so there are information school can visit. They can come and learn about the plants of Tonga, the flora of Tonga, and the fauna of Tonga. So we can have school come in, appreciate, and at the same time, we will have the heritage center with all the basic information that the children and also the local can access and learn. And this is one way of passing on the skill and also the information to the next generation.
That's so beautiful. And of course, this is why I wanted everybody to understand how to create aspirations, because until you create the aspiration, you can't get there. Understand that nobody is alone when it comes to their fundraising struggle, and you've got some really creative ways that you've been able to sustain this, and that we're here. GNEC is here to support you and to give you good ideas from like-minded people who are also advocates as you are. And so you know what I'm going to say. I'll say thank you to Lucy. And to everybody else, I'll say never stop changing the world.